Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. Welcome, Gavin. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I think to kick off, let's maybe take a bit of a walk. What landed you in your current position of founder and MD of Rebel Safety Gear?
Hi, how's it, Dylan? Thanks for having me, first of all. It's been quite a journey. You know, I think that as a business, we turned 20 this year on the 1st of October. Back in 2000, I joined a company called AllSafe. At the time, it was a Cape Town located company owned by the first listed Black Empowerment Group on the JSE. And I spent four very productive and happy years at AllSafe. But while working for AllSafe, you know, we identified that there was an opportunity in the safety footwear environment for a business to emerge and to grow into. And we started Rebel Safety Gear on the 1st of October of 2004, as I say, 20 years ago.
What made that decision? What made you identify the foot protection?
I guess just operating in the environment, seeing what the opportunities were, identifying that our market was lagging a little bit behind certain international markets. I was fortunate enough to attend a couple of the personal protective equipment fairs across the world, seeing what was going on, seeing, you know, the developments that were taking place, and seeing that the opportunity did exist.
Okay, and that was from an AllSafe point, you were covering the entire sphere of safety?
Yes.
What capacity was that?
I was part of the business capacity at the time. I think I was the managing director of the Joburg and Durban component of the business. We supplied the full range of personal protective equipment, you know, from head to toe.
Fantastic. So, with identifying that gap and the lag in South Africa then, what's the evolution been like in your perspective from your AllSafe days to now where we are?
Oh, there has been significant change. Technically speaking, there's been substantial growth in multiples of environments, particularly, hand protection, respiratory protection. Fall arrest has become a seriously well-considered environment that people operate in. Footwear, there has been development. There is, certainly from a footwear point of view, it had already developed to a particular level. The changes are that footwear has changed from being an orthopedic style safety shoe that was only intended to protect your toes in case something fell on your foot, to an environment where slip resistance is really important, temperature resistance is really important. The fatigue that the body endures as a consequence to being on your feet all day has become paramount. So lots and lots have changed with regards to, the technical components of product. Wearables, artificial intelligence, all of that is starting to come into play with regards to PPE.
Right. So from a perspective of Protector, we see Rebel as a fit-for-purpose supplier from two very strong points. One, quality. We've never had an issue where what we've gone to a client with or what we've made sure we've supplied as a fit-for-purpose solution is such. But the second part is, if you don't have foot protection, you're not protected. And the availability has also been a huge component that we see as what's generated this beast of Rebel from a footwear point of view. How do you perceive Rebel being fit for purpose for the consumers?
Yeah, I think that we are very fit for purpose, and it is in both of those components that you mentioned. Availability is critical, and it's key for all applications within the safety environment. If you can't put safety boots or shoes on, you're not safe going onto site. It's been one of our core focuses to ensure that we are appropriately stocked with the product that we supply. And, you know, we work really hard to make sure that we do remain appropriately stocked. Yes, you know, we run into the occasional issue, you know, where we might run out of size 10s of a particular style. But if we can't offer you that particular style, there's always something else. And, you know, in conjunction with our distribution base like Protector, who also carry stock, we generally have sufficient inventory available to ensure that we can supply people's needs. You know, with regards to footwear, you get what you pay for. Rebel by no means is the cheapest supplier of safety footwear in the market, and safety footwear and PPE, because we believe that there has to be a minimum level of product or standard that a product is supplied against in order to ensure that the person wearing it or exposed to any risk is actually safe in that environment. You know, it's a critical component of being a responsible provider of safety gear.
Fully agree. And we actually going to dig into that as part of the fit for purpose, because I think quite often it gets mistaken that price is the defining factor when selecting PPE. Let's just maybe one step back on when we talk safety boots. So people generally think a safety boot is there to stop something from falling on your foot. Is there more to a safety boot than that? I think you're intimately involved in the entire process of designing, manufacturing. Can you give us your perspective on that?
Sure. There's no question about it. Safety footwear is much broader than just providing somebody the protection of a heavy item falling on your toes. Look, when something heavy falls on your toes, it's very painful and very debilitating. But you have to take the entire shoe into account. You know, the foot climate that your foot is exposed to inside of a safety shoe often is incredibly important in how you manage your day. You know, we all know that, you know, uncomfortable footwear is extremely debilitating. And, you know, when you're on your feet all day, or when you have to wear a particular style of footwear all day, you need to be as comfortable as possible in order to, to achieve the productivity levels that are required in the workplace. Many people, and we've all experienced it in this game, have walked into a factory or a construction site, and the guy who's supposed to be wearing a respirator has got it on his forehead or on his helmet. The same applies to footwear. Same applies to gloves, for that matter. Is if they are too uncomfortable, what is the primary thing that the person who's supposed to be wearing trying to do? And that's trying to get it off. So it's imperative that we, that we provide and supply a product that is fit for use, and that the wearer is actually happy to wear for the entire time that they're on duty. That's making people safe in the workplace. Making product that is fit for purpose and comfortable to wear, not generating massive levels of fatigue is a challenge. And you have to take multiple things into account. Footwear, as an example, you have gumboots. The primary reason for wearing a gumboot is to keep liquid off the foot or to keep the foot dry, internally. The problem with that is that you then have a foot climate internally that is extremely sweaty, and, your feet get very very wrinkled. I mean, we all know what happens when you spend too long in the swimming pool. So we've got to try and factor those and mitigate those realities in the footwear. And we design footwear around that. So breathability, imperative. Making shoes water resistant or waterproof requires certain applications of materials, certain considerations of levels of depth and the depth of the liquid or chemical or oil or whatever that may be the case in the environment that the person is working in. Temperature, whether it be hot or cold, very important to take into account. You know, when people are working at extreme temperatures, you know, in an environment too hot, you've got to protect the foot from the exposure to those, you know, to that temperature. And the same in a cold environment. We don't face that too often in South Africa, apart from, you know, in freezer environments where foodstuffs are kept and people are working in those sorts of environments. But, you know, a carcass can weigh tons. That falling on your foot, you know, you need to protect against that.
For sure. Okay, so it's a lot more than just something falling on your foot. We need to think about the fatigue. How do you design for that? I mean, is that part of your guy's boot or shoe that you're designing and taking that into account?
Sure. You know, we essentially start from the floor up, you know, when we start considering a boot. So, you know, the slip resistance properties of the boot or the shoe needs to be taken into account, because people work in environments that are wet, and it may be water, it could be oil, it could be wet tar, it could be blood and fat in a particular environment. And the outsole, you know, which is the barrier between the boot and the floor, needs to take that into account. Temperature needs to be taken into account. Sometimes, you know, people are working at 200 or 300 degrees centigrade, and the boot needs to be resistant to that. And we will then attach a rubber outsole, as an example, to mitigate against those sorts of temperatures. Then you have to take comfort into account, because, you know, the harder the product, obviously the more resistant it is to wear an abrasion. Items that will penetrate the outsole. And, you know, you need to consider that when you're building a shoe. So is somebody working in an environment where there is broken glass, or where there's the potential of a nail penetrating, or a needle, you know, for that matter, in, you know, penetrating the outsole and then the foot, which is on the inside. And we have to build in barriers between the foot and the risk to stop that from happening. You know, when you start talking about being water resistant or waterproof, they're two different requirements. You know, water resistant, you can generally build water resistance into the upper that you construct around the foot. But waterproof, sometimes you have to put a waterproof liner into the boot, which stops, you know, the liquid from penetrating the boot. The challenge with that then is that you're also preventing, or potentially preventing, the liquid that is building up from a sweat point of view internally from exiting the boot, because that's what you want to do too, is you want the foot climate to be as comfortable as possible, which means that the foot needs to dry out as it builds up sweat. So you need to wick the moisture away from the foot, and you have to, you know, use product that is designed or capable of actually performing both functions, a barrier from the outside but wicking moisture away from the foot on the inside. The upper of the shoe could be made from multiples of materials. So you could have leather uppers, you know, which is your typical style of footwear and has been for centuries, through to mesh products, which are more breathable. And those are the kinds of things you take into account when you build the product. You know, the support of the ankle needs to be taken into account. How far up the leg should the boot extend to provide the appropriate support, you know, to the foot and to the ankle? What sort of environments is the person working in? Are you having to, you know, stabilize the ankle? Because, you know, the ground or the surface that the person is operating on is inconsistent. So, you know, the foot or the ankle needs support in order to endure the manipulation that it might be exposed to due to, you know, uneven ground or whatever.
There's a lot that obviously goes into manufacturing or designing these. How does that get simplified for the user? Because, I mean, at face value, when we deal with safety on sites, the person says, well, I'm working on a construction site, give me a boot. How do they go best about selecting that? Because it's all fine and well that from a design point, we've taken all of this into account. But the reality is probably it's not being discussed from the person making the decision of what safety boot is being used.
Yeah, it's a good question that. And it's something that we, you know, it's a challenge that we face consistently, is how do we communicate what is the appropriate footwear for a particular application to a whole lot of people who often are ignorant as to, you know, what is required to be protected against, let alone what the, you know, what the protection that is available in the footwear is providing. So we, you know, we try to generate tables and resistance charts and those sorts of things. You know, we also have quite well-informed customers who also understand what it is and will communicate with us and ask us, you know, what style of footwear is suitable for any particular application, because there are some commonalities that are you know, relevant in almost every time you have to select a shoe. So what sort of temperatures are you exposed to? What sort of chemicals are you exposed to? You know, what sort of surface area are you exposed to? Is it a safety critical environment or is it an occupational environment? So what I mean by that difference is that does it need a safety toe cap or does it need some other form of occupational protection? And so on. The one thing that we have that I haven't mentioned is the other thing that we are now faced with as a reality within footwear design is what the boot and shoe looks like. You know, people are now wanting to look better at work. They want to look a little bit more professional. They want, you know, their footwear to represent what it is that they're about. You know, I guess we can thank all sorts of things to that, but social media, you know, and how you look and act and whatever has driven a particular outcome.
And it's quite crazy to think people would rather look good than be safe. I mean, that's currently the conversation on many sites that we've experienced.
Absolutely. You know, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide the wearer the opportunity to have both. And, you know, I think if you go and have a look at the range of product available, and we try to meet everybody's requirements. So you've got athletic-looking safety footwear for the more sports-orientated individuals, and then we've got hiking or outdoor-style footwear that, you know, appeals to a more, you know, outdoorsy kind of person. And then you've got your traditional hard-wearing, you know, footwear, which, you know, actually cannot, or for it's for those applications where there can't be any compromise, you know, where it's more important to keep the foot absolutely secure and safe than it is to look good.
For sure. One of the points that I do think we struggle with, and you've mentioned it briefly, is the price point. And at the end of the day, decisions are generally made of what safety boot needs to be required. We will put five on the table and then we'll pick the cheapest one. The problem being that the cheapest one might not be of same quality. You've just mentioned probably 20, 30 different factors going into the design of the boot. How does a person selecting and actually procuring that equipment make sure they are getting the one that's appropriate? Because surely price cannot be the measuring stick. It's going to put the person that needs to wear the safety boot in real danger.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when price is the primary reason for buying a safety shoe, you're probably going to buy the wrong product. And the reason for that is that I've already mentioned that you get what you pay for. Now, when manufacturing safety footwear, and we'll stick to that, you know, that topic, the only way you can make a boot or a shoe cheaper is by compromising on the materials that go into it to construct, you know, the boot or shoe. Yes, there are certain, you know, styles of footwear that you can probably manufacture a little bit more efficiently, which will save on the labor input component of the boots and shoes. But, you know, principally, most of the price that you pay for a safety boot or shoe is the actual construction of the materials that have gone into it. And as I say, to make it cheaper, you have to compromise on those. So and you're compromising on the important components of it. You know, the barrier between the foot and the earth is your outsole. You don't want to compromise on that. It needs to do what it's designed to do, whether that's to keep you safe from a slipping point of view, or whether it's safe to keep you, you know, from a temperature point of view or an exposure to sharp objects point of view. You don't want to compromise on that. The midsole, which is the comfort component of the shoe, if you compromise on that, you're going to affect the performance of the shoe. So you're going to start seeing fatigue creep in because your foot's not going to be in the appropriate position. So your posture is going to get affected, and all of those sorts of things kind of drive an outcome. The upper of the shoe, you know, it's imperative that you that it's fit for purpose for the duration that the shoe is designed to perform for. You know, it's pointless having an upper that is going to last, and let's assume that a shoe is designed for 12 months. The outsole will last for 12 months, but the upper is going to last for 6 months. It's going to start falling apart. We've all seen people on site with shoes that are in terrible condition because they've worn out. And it's critical that you take those things into account when selecting the product. But if you're going to base your decision entirely around the price, you are going to have those compromises, and you are going to find your workforce exposed and at risk, and the productivity you lose because somebody can't turn up for work because their feet are damaged or burnt or have been exposed to a chemical, or are just painful because they've been incorrectly walking in the shoes because their posture's been affected. All of those things are far more costly than the actual price of the safety footwear.
I think to just jump on that point, I mean, everybody, again, not everybody, majority of people probably see foot protection realistically as something dropping or something going through the boot, penetrating, obviously, the user's foot. Mm. Those are immediate damage. Those you can tell right now that, listen, that boot wasn't sufficient. There's an element there, though, that you've mentioned a few times, fatigue, walking incorrectly, in particular with the midsole. What would happen? What would compromising, number one, compromising material in a safety boot look like from that perspective? So how do people compromise that or make it a cheaper option?
Mm. Okay, interesting question. And there are multiple levels of compromise that happen. An easy one to quote is if you take safety boots that are available in the market and you cut them in half, you then have a side view of what the components that go into the outsole look like. And in many, many occasions, or on many occasions, and we've cut up, we cut up shoes regularly, purely to understand what's happening in the market and to be able to talk about, the benefits of wearing our product. When you cut a boot in half, you will see that there are inserts that are placed into the footwear, which in turn compromise the performance of the product. As an example, when manufacturing safety footwear, and I'm referring now specifically to an injection-styled safety shoe. Now, that is a shoe that is the upper is constructed, and we then inject the outsole onto the upper. Generally, we tend to do that in two densities of polyurethane. A softer density is the midsole, and that is softer to make it much more comfortable. It's also softer to allow it to compress so that when you take steps, it doesn't create unnecessary stress on the outsole, which is a harder density form of polyurethane, which causes it to crack. You've probably, and I think we've all probably owned shoes where the outsole has cracked across the flex point. Now, what happens is that in the area where the midsole is, guys who are trying to compromise the price start putting cheap components or cheap products into those areas so that there is less polyurethane injected into that component of the shoe. So they would use often they use a product called EVA, which is ethylene vinyl acetate. Now, an EVA product is the kind of thing that a slip-slop is made from. Now, we've all worn slip-slops over time. When you wear a slip-slop, and in time, and it's a relatively short space of time, we know how it compresses and it doesn't recover. So it just gets thinner and thinner and thinner, and that's what happens in the safety shoe too. So where they've put in an EVA plug to drop the cost of the polyurethane, that EVA just compresses with every step that is taken. And for people who spend a lot of time on their feet, that compression happens faster, and it takes the foot from being in the appropriate position from a posture point of view to being in an inappropriate position. And that generates pain in your foot, pain in your knees, potentially pain in your hips, even back pain. And those are debilitating, types of problems that the user has to try to work through. And when it becomes unbearable, the person can't perform their job function appropriately. They sometimes can't turn up to perform their job function, and productivity is dramatically affected. And that's all to save 5, 10, maybe $50 on a, you know, on a safety shore boot.
Cool. So while we're on that, because for me, we need the audience to be equipped with adequate information. Understanding that is one thing, but I've never come across a site that cuts their boot open and makes sure. So how would you best advise? I mean, how are they ensuring that this is appropriately in this particular example of the midsole? How would they know without cutting it open?
Yeah, good, very good question. I think that you've got to select particular brands that have a reputation for supplying the appropriate product in the market. I mean, there are guides that we could give with regards to what a price should be of a boot or shoe in the market. You know, and if somebody is paying less than, and this is a completely off the cuff statement, 450 Rand retail for a safety boot or shoe, you're probably buying a compromised product. You might still get a compromised product if you pay more for it. So price is not the only determining factor, because it depends on how many levels there are in the chain of supply, putting a markup on the product. But I think if you choose the recognized brands in the market, you know, those are, that is a fundamental way of ensuring that you're getting what it is that you're paying for. You know, it's not only compromising the outsole, though, that you've got to be aware of, you know, or wary of. It's also the upper. You know, people will supply leather safety shoes, but they would have to reinforce the leather, because the standards that are applied to safety shoes, being the, you know, the ISO 20345 standard, stipulate all sorts of things around, you know, the boot and shoe, which have the minimums of which have to be achieved in order for it to conform to those standards. And those standards stipulate things like tear strength, the bond strength between the outsole and the upper, and all sorts of other things. And those standards need to be adhered to in order to claim that on your footwear. In order to achieve those standards, using compromised leather as an example, requires you to reinforce that leather. And often that reinforcing comes with a compromised, you know, ability for the leather to, you know, to perform the function, which is to allow the foot to breathe and provide a suitable barrier against the environment at the same time. And as soon as you start doing that, you start compromising the foot climate again, which then starts compromising, you know, the wearing time, because the person is trying to get their foot out of their boot or shoe in order for it to recover itself. So there are lots of ways of identifying what the shoes are, but they often require you to actually cut the shoe up to properly identify it. So when making a selection, you know, an end user or a company buying for their, you know, for their workforce, they need to sit down and have an intelligent conversation with the provider and make sure that they understand what it is, you know, that is being specified with regards to the safety footwear, and they need to ask the appropriate questions.
Very much so. Again, I'm going to stay on this midsole, because I think if we can use this as a single point of focus, the audience needs to use that logic across the board. Like you've mentioned, it could be a midsole, could be the upper. There's different components to this unit, but I think for me, the midsole is quite interesting, because as you've mentioned, there could be an alternate material used, which is cheaper, which doesn't last as long. The problem, though, and I need you to guide me with this, is I would assume you don't see the damage immediately. The person that you're talking about that is going to have the damage, the long-term damage of maybe their foot is a bit off-center now naturally, won't notice it when it starts, but probably a longer term, 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, there is a whole medical environment that has emerged as a consequence to footwear, to posture, to the shape of the foot. You know, we've all heard of podiatrists. You know, and it's the reason they exist is because you know, the position of your foot and the shape of your foot, whether you pronate or you supinate, is actually quite material in how comfortable you are as an individual on your feet. And, you know, if you're wearing shoes and boots that degenerate in particular areas, it's affecting the ability of the foot to be in the appropriate position for your best well-being. And, you know, definitely as a consequence to using inferior product, you will get variable degradation. And therefore, it will take time for that degradation to happen. And the user or the wearer might be unaware of it. And, you know, the damage will be potentially long-term in correction, but also long-term in developing. And, you know, it's absolutely critical that, you know, that footwear performs the function that it's intended, so that the user does actually have the appropriate posture and comfort in the workplace.
Cool. So what we're saying is, I think the easiest guide the audience could use is, if you see somebody extremely cheap versus a like-for-like product in terms of visual, one, cut up a boot, but two is start asking those important questions or get hold of reputable brands, because you don't want to cause that. I mean, an immediate injury recovers dramatically quicker than a long-term injury, which you're now going to sit with, and you've damaged the people that are making the company money, which is fundamentally unethical, but also it's how they're going to carry on making money.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.